Our world is kind of topsy-turvy. What would you call somebody who comes into your home and takes things that are yours without your permission and just takes them and leaves with them? What would you call that person? Call him a thief, yeah. Now, if it was Robert's house, you'd call him an ambulance. in some houses, you'd call the coroner. But, yeah, you call him a thief, right? I mean, you're not okay with that, are you? What if they didn't steal your stuff? What if somebody came into your home? You know, what if you're home today and you're taking your nap this afternoon? That was the best opportunity many of you had to say amen right there. You're taking your nap this afternoon. They walk into your home. They don't steal your stuff, but they just sort of sit down in your recliner and they pick up your remote and they play your video games or they drink your pop and eat your food and all those things. They're just kind of using your stuff in the way they want to. Are you okay with that? What if you're an employer, you know, you're the boss and you graciously allow your employees to maybe have a company car or a phone or some kind of equipment or a desk space and they don't take care of it. They just sort of are careless with it and it's dirty and not kept up. And are you okay with that? Of course not. Of course not. You see, there's something about, there's a word that I want to talk about this morning. And it's called ownership. See, we're not okay with those things because we're not okay with someone disrespecting our ownership, are we? Right? If it's your home, if it's your things, if it's your business, you want people to respect your ownership, right? Because it doesn't belong to them. Yes? Are you with me? Now, it's funny because there are some of you, you've been around here long enough to know that you're being set up. See, I'm looking at Cassie, for example. Cassie's like, I'm not answering anything. I'm not saying a word because I know what you're doing. You're going to set us up, you know, because I want to talk to you this morning seriously about who owns everything. See, we think we own some things. Guys, we don't own anything. There is an owner of everything. And I wanted to remind us, you see, there's a God who owns some stuff. And there are way too many of his children who believe that they can just treat his stuff any way they want to. Use his stuff any way they want to. See, we haven't been given ownership of anything by God. We have been given stewardship of many things. See, God said, those things that you think are yours, they're not yours. They're mine. And I have made you a steward over them. What is a steward? A steward is somebody who takes care, just like a business owner. Again, I go back to the example. If you're a business owner and you offer a company car, does anybody have a company car in this room? Good. You figure that into your tithe, by the way? Never mind. Doug has a company car. And so ServPro gives him a vehicle to use. And because they're giving him a vehicle to use, they own it. He gets to use it, but he should take into account that that doesn't belong to him, and he should treat that vehicle properly because it belongs to somebody else. Are you with me? And God says, there's some things that I own. I want you to know about it. So this morning, I just want to remind all of us, and I may be preaching to the choir here, I don't know, but I want to remind all of us that there are some things that God says, I want you to remember that I own this. Let me begin. Number one, what does God own? First of all, God owns the earth. God owns the earth. In fact, we know this because in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 14, he said this. He said, behold, the heaven and the heaven above the heavens is the Lord's. Okay, did you notice that? God owns heaven. Are you with me? Do you get to invite into your home anybody you want, yes or no? Yes. You get to choose who comes into your home, yes? Do you get to dictate how a person comes into your home? Like, can they? Yeah, no, not you, Harold. People come to Harold's house. But most of us, we don't allow people to enter through the windows, right? You know, we tell people, you're going to come through the door. Guess what? God has that same message to this world. If you want to come to heaven, you come through the door. And he identified who that door was, by the way. Jesus said, I am the door, and so on. But he said, I own heaven. The heaven and the heaven above the heavens is the Lord's. But notice what else? The earth also. God owns this earth, folks. God owns this earth. He also owns, notice he didn't stop there. He said, with all that is in it. He said it this way in Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1. He said, the earth is the Lord's Again, he says this four times, by the way, throughout the Old Testament. He said, the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. Have you noticed that our world, our societies of the world seem to have the idea that this earth belongs to us? Have you noticed that? To do anything we want to with it. But he said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means everything in it. That means everything on top of it, and that means everything buried in it. You know, God says, everything that is in the earth is mine. And then he went on here, and he also said, and by the way, and they that dwell therein. I'll come back to that, you know, at the end of the message. But he said, the earth is the Lord's. Now, here's the point. Now, I know there are many people who say, well, wait a minute. But I've always heard that when God made the earth, he made it for us. He made the earth for man. I mean, he loves us so much that he made this earth for us. Well, I hate to burst your bubble. God did not make this earth for us. He didn't make it for you. Victoria, it's not all about you. No, it's not. She said, yes, it is. It's not. Look, the earth is not about, he didn't make this earth for us. Now, may I say, about 6,000 years ago-ish, somewhere in there, when he recreated the earth and he renovated the earth and he fixed some things that had gotten messed up because of cosmic battles that took place, then he did, I think, keep in mind that he was going to make a human being that would like some things. For example, God made the mountains, please understand, God made the mountains for himself. He just made us to like them, right? To love them, right? He made Matt to love the mountains. Matt wants to go live in the mountains, and I don't blame him. So I love the mountains. God even decided at some point, for some reason, that he would make some flowers and make some of you to like flowers. He made the rest of us to be normal. He made the rest of us to be men. I knew he would cut me off. Look. God made some things, and it was a bonus that we like to think. But please understand, the earth is the Lord's; it's His. In fact, he went on. He said that he talked about the earth being His footstool in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord: the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Look, I'm trying to make the point. Please understand this: God loves you, yes, but He did not make this earth for you or for me. He didn't make it for man; He made it for Himself. He made it for Himself. He owns it. It's His. It's His. But we're stewards of it. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to take care of it. Look, Adam and Eve understood this. Adam and Eve knew that the Garden of Eden was not theirs. God never said to them, hey, I made a garden for you. We know a couple of things. First of all, we know that He made a garden and He put man into it. But then what did He tell Adam and Eve? He said, I want you to do what? Take care of it. Dress and keep it. That means take care of it. He said, I want you to look after it. I want you to do what's good for it. I want you to look after those animals that I give to you. I'm going to let you name them, but I want you to take care of them. He said, I didn't give you animals to abuse them. Please hear me. God never gave animals to humans. He gave us animals for food. He gave us animals for clothing, and He gave us animals for companionship, and He gave us animals, in some cases, to just scratch our head like a possum. What? I'm going to ask God, what is the deal with the possum? I mean, there is nothing good that I can see about it. It's what? They eat ticks? Oh. Okay. See, I learn something all the time. It takes a lot of ticks. I've seen some big possums. That's going to take a lot of ticks to fill up a possum. I'm pretty sure they're eating more than just ticks. But if they eat ticks, so be it. But they're creepy. They're creepy. They got hands. Have you noticed that? They got hands. Like raccoons have hands. And But God says, look, I gave you these things. He said, but I want you to take care of it. The earth, He said, but I want you to remember the earth is mine. It belongs to me. You know, I think we oftentimes, we forget that we are just simply stewards of things. This earth is God's. Everything on this earth is God's. This shirt on my back is God's, right? Because it's on the earth. Yes. The money in my wallet is God's money. Okay? It's His. He allows us, though, to steward, and He says, I want you to take some care. I don't want you to ever get the idea. See, this is the point of my message today. We get the idea that we own all these things. And so, therefore, because we're the owners, we can do whatever we want to with them. But that's not true. It's not true. See, the county of Marion seems to think that I own 680 Newman's Cardington Road East. because my name is on the deed. But see, that's not true. I don't own that. God owns that. God owns that. That car that's parked over there, and at least I hope it's still parked over there. Actually, no, I wish somebody would steal it because of the issues I'm having with it. But it's worth more dead than alive. kind of like me. But anyway, but you know that car's got my, you know, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles seems to think that I own that. They send stuff to me. They give me a title that says you own this, but I don't own that. God owns that. Again, I know you say, okay, we got it. We got the point. I think, though, that we forget that sometimes. I think we forget that God owns everything, and we think we own it. You know, I completely agree with the conservationists on something. I believe we ought to not pollute our water. I believe we ought to not try not to pollute our air any more than necessary. I don't think we ought to shut down, you know, I don't think we ought to stop living to worry about that, because I think the earth is much more resilient than conservationists believe. But I don't want to get into a, you know, a super controversial thing, but there's something that I agree about with conservationists. I agree we should not be littering, not be polluting things and all those things, but for totally different reasons. See, the conservationist believes we shouldn't pollute our water and pollute our air and pollute our ground because we need to live here and we want a beautiful place, right? It's all about us. No, I'm going to tell you, we need to not do those things because it does not belong to us. Would you be okay with somebody walking into your yard and throwing a cigarette butt down? Well, how do you think God feels when you flick one out your car window? Wow. I think I only have smokers here today. Now look, you know, look, we have butt cans out here, but can I just make the point? Keep your butts off the sidewalk. Right? And the pop cans. And your, you know, McDonald's bags and everything else. Look, we should take care of this earth, not because, you know, not because of some 70s song we heard about, you know, this world, this land is our land, this land is my. No, it's none of that. Hey, that song is very untrue. What? How did that go? This land is your land, this land is my land. Not true. California to something else. You know, walla 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 watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. You know, this land was made for you and me. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, this land was made for God. This is God's land. God owns the earth, and we should treat it properly because it doesn't belong to us. And by the way, that means America belongs to God also. Look, America belongs to God also. You know, God started this thing. God, just like God called Abraham to begin the nation of Israel, and Israel belongs to God, God also inspired a handful of pilgrims 400 years ago to come to a new place and start something new for him. America is God's, folks. Amen. Now look, we are not going to get, you know that I am not going to make politics a big deal here. I'm not going to fall into that trap of being political or choosing sides and all that kind of stuff. But may I say that your personal politics should reflect the values of the one that owns America. Ask yourself, please, when it comes time to choose whom you want to represent you and represent, that we really should not be thinking so much about, well, I want this person because I agree with him and I agree with her and I like this and this is where my feelings are and this is the way I want things to be. We should be asking ourselves which one of these political candidates aligns mostly with the person who owns America, which is God, which is God. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The earth is his footstool and every place we go. You know, there's not a place you can go on this earth that your foot doesn't touch something that belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's. Let me move on. Number two, the Lord also owns the church. God also owns the church. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said, upon this rock I will build whose church? This is Jesus talking. He said, please remember, it's my church. It's my church. You know, he said, I'm going to begin something. I want you to take care of it. Wasn't this his message when he left the apostles in Acts chapter number 1? When he left the apostles, he said, look, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I don't want you to do your own thing. I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit directs you. He said, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. They're going to give you power. And then I want you to take care of what I've started. And don't forget, it's my church. It's my church. I've used this illustration before. I think I think that we sometimes forget that Jesus said, look, please understand, there's two churches. There's the big capital C church, which is, you know, the church that Jesus started, the all believers in Jesus Christ. And then there's a whole bunch of small C churches. There's the Catholic Church, and there's the Methodist Church, and there's the Presbyterian Church, and there's all these. But do you know what denominations really are? And again, please don't get upset with me if you're a denominational person, you know, and all that. You like that, you know, Baptist and what have you. But please understand, do you know what a denomination is? A denomination is really just another name for a franchise. See, McDonald's has two kinds of stores. Some of them are corporate stores. The corporation owns it. They have to do everything exactly like the corporation says. They don't get to make their own choices. They don't get to design their buildings. They don't get to design their advertising. They have to do everything because they're owned by the corporation. But then there's some, like we have here in Delaware, that are what we call franchises. You know what a franchise is? A franchise is where you say, I've got the money. I'm going to go ahead and use your name. Now, you know where I'm going with this with church? A franchise is where somebody says, I'm going to use the McDonald's name to bring people in. I'm going to use the McDonald's packaging to bring people in. I'm going to buy my food from you and things like that. But franchise owners have the ability to kind of tweak it and move it, massage it, and do things the way they want to. They can redesign their buildings. They can do all kinds of things. And I'm afraid there are a whole lot of us Christians, we get the idea that church is somehow a franchise, where we're just going to use Jesus' name to bring people in, but we're going to ignore the way he said to do it. Jesus said, don't forget it's my church. Don't forget the church belongs to me. Do it my way. Well, what did he say? He said, my way is love God and love your neighbor. My way is act like I acted. Do what I did. In fact, Jesus was so serious about this that he sent a special apostle. He called from heaven a man named Paul. He was actually named Saul. He changed his name. He said, I'm going to call you Paul. I'm going to call you. You're going to be a chosen vessel unto me. And Paul had one job. He had one job. Teach the churches how to do it Jesus' way. And every letter written by Paul is a letter to a church. Every one of them. They're letters written to churches to say, here's how Jesus wants you to run this thing. Here's how Jesus wants you to operate. Here's what Jesus wants you to stand on. Look, it's important for us, for example, to know what God said maybe to a Jewish family back in, you know, the early days of Israel about how, you know, some things they're supposed to do. But that's not where we take our doctrine from. We take our doctrine from the teaching that Jesus passed on to Paul, that Paul gave to the churches, that this is where the church is supposed to be. We don't use as an example, how many of you know the name Achan? You know the name Achan from the Bible? It didn't turn out well for Achan, did it? He sinned. He stole something that God said, don't touch anything. And he took some silver and he took some things that he wasn't supposed to take. And guess what? They called him and his family out in front of the entire congregation of Israel and they stoned them. They killed them all. Look, we don't follow that as an example for the church, do we? We don't. Now, there's some people in the church get stoned, but not that way. At least in this church. Not supposed to. I'll get to that. Look, but here's the thing. You know, but see, we don't use those as examples. What we do is we take the examples Jesus gave us, like when the woman was brought in adultery. He dealt with the sin. He said, I want you to deal with sin in the church. He said, I want you to deal with sin in the church, but you do it privately. That's what he did. He dismissed all the hypocrites first. And then he said, hey, lady, you are better than that. He said, hey, I don't know where the guy is, but I can forgive you for that adultery. He said, you don't worry about them. You need to worry about me. He said, and I can forgive you, but don't do that anymore. See, Jesus, so there are things that Jesus wants us to deal with, but he wants us to do it his way. We're not a franchise because Jesus owns the church, and we need to remember that Jesus owns the church, and that's why we do some of the things. You know, God has given us free will. God has given us free will, for example, to come to church or not come to church. But please understand, our responsibilities remain the same whether we come or don't come. He's given us freedom. He's given us free will to serve or don't serve. Look, we can come here and we can just take and we can take and we can take. He gives us free will to do that, but please understand, your responsibility to serve doesn't change just because you have freedom not to. He said, I expect you as my child. You're a part of my church. I bought you. We'll see that here in a minute. You have a responsibility, just like Adam and Eve had responsibilities in the garden. Maybe they didn't even agree with them. It doesn't make any difference whether we agree with it. Do we all understand it doesn't matter if we agree with God or not? We still have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to give to God's work. Again, it's His money, yes? Look. You all obviously love Jesus. You would not be here today. So let me just speak very, very frankly. You know, we have a responsibility to take care of God's church. Not for any reason other than the fact that it's His money and it's His church. Right? The Bible says when you give, you're supposed to give secretly. We all need to understand that. We don't do like the hypocrites do. You know, when the offering plates are passed around, don't ever do what I've seen in many, many churches where somebody will take their wallet out and take money out and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And Jesus said, look, don't do that. That's like the guys that throw that money in there so they can hear it hit. And so everybody knows what you're doing. That's not what this is about. But I do want to illustrate this way. My wife and I do not see our giving as giving. We agree about this. You see, the way we see it is God gives us a certain amount of money and 100% of it is His. We just choose to live on a certain percentage of it and return back to Him the percent. And by the way, I believe that, you know, for us, that's more than 10% because God has been way more than just the bare minimum to me. He's been way better to me than just the bare minimum. I don't live in the bare minimum house. Do you? I do drive the bare minimum car, but bad example. It might even be below the bare minimum. I don't know. But you know what? When I need a new car, God will provide a way for that. I just put another $300 in junk parts on that thing, and I think it'll take me another year. I thought I was going to have to buy a new car, and I'm so grateful for that. You know why? Because everything that we have belongs to God. That 680 Newman's Cardington Road does not belong to me. It belongs to Him. And I should use it in the way that pleases Him and take care of it and so on. You get the idea. But the church also belongs to Him. And it's our responsibility to take care of the church and to fund the church and all of those things. Let me just move on because I think you get that. Number three, lastly, what else belongs to God? Well, God owns the earth and God owns the church. Here's the tough one. God also owns us. 1 Corinthians will tell us that. He said this, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We need to think about that the next time we decide what we're going to watch, what we're going to listen to, what we're going to say, the things we're going to be around, the things we're going to allow ourselves to be around. Look, please remember that about your children too. Be careful about what we allow our children to be. But he said, look, the Holy Ghost is in you, which you have of God. And now notice the last part though, you are not your own. You know, it was Billy Joel, I think, that's saying, you know, keep it to yourself. It's my life. No, it's not, Billy. Sorry. It's not your life. Well, it might be his. He may not be a child of God. I don't know. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not your own. You're not your own. You don't own your body. We don't get to do whatever we want to. Now, we do get to because we've been given free will. But we should treat them as if they belong to Him. Because they do. Our bodies belong to Him. Our spirits belong to Him. Like he went on, verse 20. He said this, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? They're God's. They're God's. Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir a lot this morning. And I know we all know this. But I think we forget this sometimes when we go about our lives. You know, we forget this when we decide what we're going to put into our bodies, what we're going to do with our body, what we're going to, you know, and what we do with the people around us and in our spirit. By the way, did you notice your spirit is God's? Your attitude ought to be His. Amen. My attitude ought to be His. Grouchiness is a sin. Amen. Being a grump. Showing the world, you know, oh, it's just awful here, and I'm scared I'm going to get coronavirus, and I'm going to get this, and I can't pay my bills, and I can't do this, and my knee hurts and all that. Look, that's everybody's story. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't have pain? Anybody? Everybody's got pain, right? Tony? You're a liar, Tony. You are a pain. I know that. look, everybody's, that is not what God said. Look, you're to glorify God. That means the things we do, the things we say, the things we, the places we go, how we live our lives. He said, please remember that you belong to me because I bought you. Do you know for God to buy you, I know that's not popular today, you know, with slavery kind of thing, but do you know you were a slave before God took you, before God bought you? You and I were slaves. We sang that first song we sang. We were slaves to sin, were we not? We were children of that. We belonged to the devil. The day that we chose to sin, we became his property. He had a hold on your soul. He had a hold on your spirit. You were headed for hell. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to buy you. And guess what? Satan didn't get a choice in the sale. He didn't get a choice in it. There was no negotiation. You know, God did not have to go and negotiate for you. How would that go? How would that go? What if God had to be so invested in you that he had to negotiate with Satan for your soul? It doesn't work like that, folks. I don't know what God would have had to have given up, you know, because some of us are so much like Satan that God would have had to have given up a lot probably to get him, because Satan liked us really well the way we used to be. Hey, did Satan like anybody else in the room really well the way you used to be? But see, there was no negotiation. God said, I bought you. I bought you. Jesus bought you. And so we're his. We're his. We belong to him. So that means he's the owner. And that means he should get the say in what we do with our lives. Our time. Our money. Our bodies. Our energy. Our talents. Do you have a talent that you're not using for him? Can I remind you? Look, do you have a musical talent that you're not using? I wish I did too. But if you have a musical talent that you're not using for God, do you realize that talent belongs to him? And he asked you to steward it. Do you have a teaching ability? Do you have an ability to share Scripture? Have you been a Christian long enough that you know and you could help some people to understand the Bible better? Do you realize that is a gift that God gave to you, and if you're not using it, you are taking something that belongs to him and squandering it. Amen. Squandering it. Because he said, it belongs to me. I let you be a steward of it. Do you have a great personality? Do you have a great personality where you can talk to people easily? You have God wants us to use the gifts that he has loaned to us. He's just asking us to steward them. That really was, look, let me just say this, and I'm going to wrap this up. Just because God doesn't demand something of us doesn't mean that we're not responsible for it. Just because God doesn't demand that we live a certain kind of a lifestyle doesn't mean that we're not responsible for it. Because it's not ours. It's his. Everything I have, my car is his. I should use, you know, Dave and Kizzy Najat, I love seeing them pull in the parking lot. I'm disappointed when they can't be here. You know why? When they pull in the parking lot, it's like a clown car pulls in. You know, it's like, and these people start piling out of it. Because they're bringing people to church. Can you think of anything that would please God more on a Sunday morning than one of his property, his children, taking his car, going and get some other people that are his and that he loves and bringing them to his church? Amen. Isn't that a great thing? Amen. That would make God very, very happy. So whatever it is that we have, it all belongs to him. And that's what Paul meant when he said this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I close. He said, look, I beseech you, therefore. This is an old King James word. I beseech you. Do you know what I beseech you means? Paul was saying, look, I don't know any stronger way to say this. If I could go out there and get in your face and pull you in close and say, if you don't get anything else I say, get this. That's what beseech means. He said, I beseech you. By the mercies of God, remember how merciful he was to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We talked about sacrifice last week, did we not? And sacrifice we usually think means death. Jesus died as a sacrifice, but he's not asking us to die as a sacrifice. He's asking us to live as a sacrifice. He said, look, just give me your life. Present voluntarily your life. Give me your, wait, give me my life back. Because God says, it's not your life anyway. It's mine. In the same way that you brought in your money this morning, you brought it back to him because he gave it to you at the beginning of the month, yes? Okay. I brought him back what he gave to me at the beginning of the month. I don't know about the other three of you. But in the same way, he said, look, I gave you life. You breathed my air this morning. You woke up on my bed this morning in my house. You ate my food. You have my oxygen flowing through your veins and arteries, your arteries. He said, look, I just want you to bring it back to me. I want you to offer it to me. Amen. Just offer it to me. Let me do what I want to with my property. Amen. Isn't that a little different perspective than the way we mostly look at our lives? You see, we should take care of the earth because it doesn't belong to us. We should take care of the church because it doesn't belong to us. And we should take care of us and each other because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. And it's not a, please don't take this as a harsh message. Do you know ownership? Billy, you understand this. You're a business owner. Who's responsible for everything that goes on at your business? All the responsibility is on you. All of it. His employees are supposed to respect his ownership. It's tough when it's your family, isn't it? But his employees are supposed to respect his ownership. They're supposed to take care of their part of the business because it doesn't belong to them. But it does kind of, well, it doesn't belong to him either. It belongs to God. But as far as the system here on earth goes, he is responsible because he's the owner. Now, please understand, you will find great relief in looking to God and saying, God, I'm not responsible for this. You are. But we have to do our part to take care of what he has given to us to steward, whether that's our time, our money, our resources, our energies, our talents, the capacity we have to love, and how we choose to present ourselves to this world around us. This world desperately needs some people, desperately, to point to God. And the best way to point to God is to recognize that he owns all of this and let the responsibility come back to him and let's do our part. I don't know where to take this invitation with you this morning. This was really just a message I was trying to challenge all of us to examine. What is it that I think about me? What is it that I think about church? What is it that I think about this world? And let's remember that we don't own any of this.